Good morning.
Nice to worship with you this morning on a day that God's mercy still remain fresh and new. If the wind is blowing something fierce and the water is gushing rapidly down the stream you are trying to cross, what can you do to keep yourself from falling? You can hold on to something solid, right? Well, life is full of winds and gushing water. Not speaking literally now. So what can we do to keep from falling? Hold on to something solid. And today, then, we are reminded of what that something solid is we need to hold on to during the storms and the calm. God bless us in our worship of Him on this second Sunday after the Epiphany of our Lord. I direct your attention to the invocation on page 3 of our worship bulletin. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
O Lord, keep our ears attentive to your word through word and song.
And accept our words of thanks and praise.
For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth.
Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs.
I invite you to stand as we continue on the top of page 4. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love.
According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions, for I know
We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children. But we have disobeyed Him and deserve only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him and plead for His mercy.
Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt.
God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, He has removed your guilt forever. You are His own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to His will.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. Pray. Almighty God, you gave your one and only Son to be the light of the world. Grant that your people, illumined by your word and sacraments, may shine with the radiance of Christ's glory, that he may be known, worshipped, and believed to the ends of the earth. On this Sunday after the Epiphany of our Lord, a reading from Holy Scripture from 1 Samuel chapter 3, a good phrase for us to imitate. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
God has called us to be His own and encourages us to stand firm in this calling, and He even provides what we need to stand firm. A reminder of this, a reading from Holy Scripture, 2 Thessalonians 2. But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters loved by the Lord, because God chose you as first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. May our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who loved us and by His grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. The word of the Lord. Psalm 98. Sing to the Lord a new song. The Lord has made His salvation known,
and revealed His righteousness to the nations.
He has remembered His love and His faithfulness to the house of Israel.
All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God.
Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Make music to the Lord with the harp. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King.
He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity.
Please stand for the gospel reading. A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. John, the first chapter. Here Jesus reveals a glimpse of His glory. The next day Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, He said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, He said of him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree, before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus said, you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that. He then added, very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. This is the word of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Please be seated as we now continue with our hymn of the day. Grace, mercy, and peace thankfully remain ours in great abundance. And this by God our Father and through our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we continue our focus on the scriptures this morning, turning back our attention to these words from 2 Thessalonians 2. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the teachings passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Fellow redeemed by that rock and redeemer, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has indeed appeared among us, dwelt among us, proving himself to be the one who was promised to be the Messiah. How many of you here enjoy driving east during conditions which call for chains to be put on your vehicle? And how many of you enjoy having to put on those chains once you decide you're going to make the trek that way? Unless you pay someone else to put them on. Why do we have to put chains on our vehicle? Do the chains even help? Well, perhaps one could get by without putting the chains on their vehicle, but as your vehicle is sliding toward the edge of the road without a guardrail there, what are you saying to yourself, which can be repeated at that very moment?
Why did I not put the chains on? The chains provide traction, right? On what can be a slippery surface. They are meant to keep us firmly on the road, so to increase our chances of not going over or getting into an accident. Well, God wants to keep us safe through this life. He wants us to get through this life. And so he also wants us to not have as many negative incidents as possible as we go through this life. And he has provided then what is needed to make this happen. For he knows very well what happens when people refuse to heed or use what he has given to us to not lose our grip as we go through this life. That's the encouragement which is before us this morning. That encouragement simply is to keep standing firm. In other words, keep the chains on until it is clear to take them off. Dear brothers and sisters, keep standing firm in the Lord. The Lord has called us to be his own, and he also then provides what we need to stay his own. It begins with that call to the fact that he has given us salvation. And so this is no ordinary call that he gives us. It's the call to remind us that he has saved us. And how has he saved us and what from? He saved us by the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ, who Epiphany has appeared among us. The season of Epiphany reminds us of who Jesus is, that he is the one who was promised to be the Messiah. And that he did the miracles that were prophesied that he would do. And he spoke the word of God plainly and clearly as he dwelt among us, while he was in the flesh among us. This is who Jesus is, and it is this Jesus that was sent to save us from ourselves, from our sin, and thus from death and everlasting condemnation. Because what do we know about ourselves that we don't always like to admit? That we do fall into the trap of sin way too often, that we give into that sinful nature that we all have by conception and birth. That which we know we should not do, we end up doing way too often. We're kind of like the Apostle Paul that way, right? In that tongue-twisting section, the good that I should do, I do not do, but the evil I don't do, that I keep on doing. What a wretched person we are. But thanks be to God. He has had mercy on us, and that mercy is evident in the gift of his Son, and that's what he has called us into by way of the gospel. That call to salvation is not something that we bring about ourselves. The Lord reminds us of this time and time again throughout the scriptures. Even noted last week pretty clearly that it's not our decision that brings us into a relationship with God. He is the one who does the calling. It's not by our life of works that we earn God's favor. The favor has been earned for us by the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. Scripture reminds us that faith comes from hearing the message, not our decision, not our good deeds, not by any other resource, but through the message rooted in Christ Jesus, our Epiphany, Lord and Savior. Scripture also reminds us that no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Our call to salvation is not what we brought about in ourselves. We did not invite Jesus into our life. God has called us into that relationship with him. We cannot stress that point enough because the Lord stresses it time and time again. Because how many people do emphasize that it's something that they have done. And so they walk that slippery slope of potentially falling off the edge of the road and down that cliff. Because instead of focusing on Christ, the solid rock, the one that keeps us firmly on the road, we start focusing on us and on our good deeds and on our decision. And we're busy patting ourselves on the back instead of giving all glory to God. But thankfully, there's forgiveness for that too. And a reminder that it's not us, but God that keeps us on that narrow way. It's important that we have this reminder because the Lord knows that people can reject his call to faith. People can walk away from his call to faith. He doesn't arm twist people into the faith and keep them in the faith. He continues to connect us, gives us opportunities to stay connected to his gospel. But sadly, we know too many people have walked away from that. But connected to that gospel and staying connected to that gospel, he reminds us of that outlook and that position he has put us in. That outlook is what our future looks like. Heaven. We may not know everything that's going to happen to us until we get there, but we know where we're going. And we have a good idea of what heaven is like. And it's that position and that outlook that encourages us as we go through the storms, the high winds, the gushing waters of life. Now the Apostle Paul reminds us that what is that knowledge of God calling us to this salvation? What does that move us to do? It moves us to give thanks to God, to raise up our arms and say, Lord, thank you for this call that you have given me to be your own and all then that comes with it. For all the grace that you give us day after day, Lord, your mercies are fresh and new each and every day. The sun rises and the sun sets. You provide moisture when we need it. You help us through trials and tribulations. And so, Lord, we thank you. And isn't that what prayer really is to be more about? More about giving thanks than asking? But as we examine our prayer life, where is it? Are you more into asking God for things and things of this world? Or into thanking God for his grace, which is given to you day after day and oftentimes taken for granted? God, help us be heavier on the thanksgiving. Well, we also can ask and give thanks that we can ask. Give thanks that his grace is evident throughout each day of our life, even through the challenges of this life, his grace remains solid. And so the Apostle Paul also reminds us of something else to give thanks for, to give thanks for one another. Paul was thankful for these believers, young in the faith, who by the work of the Holy Spirit using the gospel had grown up in their faith and were continually growing. And so he gives thanks for them. Always. When's the last time you have given thanks for your brother and sister in faith? Even the ones you don't always see eye to eye with. But yet, what we have in common, what we share by the grace of God, doesn't that outweigh what we don't have in common? Clothing styles, mind thoughts, and so forth. Why do we get all bent out of shape over the things that don't matter, but that which should matter to us, that we seem to treat as trivial? God, help us understand what is what in this world. Because this world is temporary. The world we're living for, that's eternal. And so God, help us give thanks for one another. And as we give thanks for one another, there's going to be less biting about one another. There's going to be more encouragement of one another. And isn't that what the Lord told us to do? Let us not give up meeting together, but let us encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. So stand firm in this call that God has given to us in Jesus. And we stand firm then by holding on to the teachings that God has given to us. The Apostle Paul reminds us of this, of what we are to hold on to, that so that we don't lose the call that God has given to us. We are to grow up in the teachings. Present imperatives are used here. This is something to be ongoing. Don't just hold on to it once and then let go. No, continually hold on so you don't lose your grip in the middle of the stream. The teachings about who God is, the creator of the universe, the one who continues to provide for his creation, the God who is three distinct persons and yet remains one God, the God who is sent his son Jesus, who is true God and true man in one person, something that can blow us away, but yet necessary for our salvation. The truth about the real presence, how Jesus' body and blood are there with the bread and wine, again, a mystery to our human mind, but truth to God and important to us. The teaching about how God can use ordinary water connected to his word to bring people to himself, and through their lifetime, that baptism serve as a powerful reminder of whose they are and the power they have by the grace of God to resist temptation. God's grace is abundant through his teachings. And these are the teachings then that we are to hold on to. Jesus himself said in John 8, right? If you hold to my teachings, what will those teachings do for you? You will know the truth. There is truth. And we need that truth. And what will that truth do? It will set you free. Give you a peace that transcends all understanding. Even though the gushing waters are all around us, even though you're slipping on the road, even with chains on, that doesn't nullify the peace that we have through our Savior Jesus. Knowing that our sins are forgiven and that heaven is our ultimate home. This is what we are to stand firm on, dear brothers and sisters. The ground around us here on earth is always going to be slippery. Temptations are lurking all around us. God help us understand what those temptations are for us. For some, it's laziness. For some, it's stubborn. For some, they already think they know it all. They think they even know more than God. You know, God, why didn't you do it this way? When you get to heaven, you can ask him. If you get to heaven, thinking you're smarter than God. Or the short-sightedness that we have. How often do we tend just to not even be able to see a foot in front of us, and we're complaining and not realizing how God has this all figured out? Isn't that Romans 8:28? We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. God help us stand firm on such teachings, on solid ground. To recognize the temptation to turn to ourselves and not to God. It's the same when it comes to the things that make us feel good or sound good. Sometimes it is true. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Let's not talk about sin. That doesn't make you feel good. Well, that might be popular, but is that going to help people in their relationship with God? Don't you need to know that diagnosis of cancer so that you can actually treat that cancer? And don't you need to know that if that cancer diagnosis cannot be beaten on this side of heaven, you still got heaven waiting for you? God, help us recognize what is feel-good theology and stand firm on solid theology, his word. And not only stand on it, but keep living that word. As a body in motion is a healthy thing, so a soul in motion is a healthy thing and desirable. Through his encouragement, the Lord reminds us to be that soul in action, to recognize then what is not good for us. He gives us plenty of warnings in Scripture of what to avoid, while at the same time also giving us what to hold on to keep our eyes fixed and focused on, and to keep looking forward. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, quit looking behind in the past, which you cannot change. Rather, look ahead in what is already prepared for us. And so keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And as we hold on to the solid teachings, and as we live those teachings, the commandments, the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, patience and kindness and love and forgiveness and all those other fruits of the Spirit in Galatians as well. Who's witnessing what you're living? Who's witnessing what you're standing on? Those around you. And what did Jesus say? May people see your good deeds and do what? Be led to praise your Father in heaven who led you to do them. Because if people are not listening, what are they not getting? They're not getting what Jesus has obtained for them. And it can be frustrating, right, when people are not listening to you, just in ordinary conversation. And it also can be frustrating when they're not listening when you're trying to share salvation with them. Sometimes it's kind of like that. If you saw this movie, A Man Called Otto, and the neighbor goes up to Otto when he continually refuses to do the suggestions that she has to offer. She says, "Why don't you listen?" Don't you just want to go up to people and say, "Why don't you listen?" In love, God has so much for you. Listen. Like Samuel said, speak. I'm listening. God, help us be like that. Because when we stop listening and stop being active with God's word and his guide for our living, we're not standing still. We're sliding backwards toward that cliff. We have seen it happen, and it continues to happen in the lives of others. Perhaps it happened for a time in your own life. And by God's grace, he kept you from going off the cliff. And now we have opportunity to stand firm. Dear friends, it doesn't have to get complicated. Thanks to God, the calling that he has given to us and the teachings he puts before us. And so stand firm. Stand firm until it is clear. In other words, until it's safe to take the chains off in heaven. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, our Epiphany, Lord and Savior. Amen. We turn to a confession of our Christian faith. It's on the top of page 8. We join together.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. We pray. Lord God, our maker and preserver, we praise and thank you for all that you give us day after day.
We are worthy of all the mercies you show us.
You have given us your precious word to nourish our souls and to protect us from the temptations of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature. Heavenly Father, we pray that you shield us from every kind of danger, sudden catastrophe, terrors of crime, and the pain of disease. Watch over those who travel by land, sea, and air. Keep our loved ones from whatever perils may threaten them. Bless our land, our people, and those who hold offices of high trust. Keep our government and schools upright and strong for the advancement of good citizenship and useful vocations, that we may enjoy your gifts of peace, security, and well-being. Take our silver and our gold, not a mite would we withhold. Take our intellect and use every power as you shall choose. Take our love, O Lord, we pour, at your feet its treasure store. Take ourselves and we will be ever only all for you. We thank you, Lord, for those who are able to celebrate another year of grace here on earth. As you have watched over them through life to this point, we trust you will continue to watch over them. The love between a husband and a wife is also a gift from you. May those couples among us able to celebrate this gift be renewed in their love for each other, reflecting this in their words and actions. Bless the women traveling to the women's retreat this coming weekend. Keep them safe during their travels and refresh them in mind and soul through the presentations based on your word. Be with Linda Detmer as she continues to mourn the loss of her husband Arnold, who passed away while they were traveling. We thank you for bringing Arnold to faith and taking him home to yourself in heaven. Keep Linda firm in the faith through your grace and peace, and use her witness to lead others to that same grace and peace. And Lord, we ask that you continue to grant patience and health to Carol Johnson as she undergoes medical procedures. Not only refresh her body as you will for her, above all, continue to refresh her mind and heart with the reminder that this health challenge does not change her status with you through Jesus. Now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. We bring these requests before you in the name of Jesus our Lord and ask you to hear us. Take all that we have, our bodies and minds, our time and skills, our ministries and offerings, and use them to your glory.
We give ourselves to you, that we may serve you in whatever way is pleasing in your sight. Amen.
And we also pray,
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.
pray. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, pour out the Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us strong in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort us in all temptation, and bestow on us your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. As you go this week and offer encouragement to family and friends and strangers, may they be moved to listen to that encouragement. Just a reminder, Bible study taking place today. We're looking at some of the prison letters of the Apostle Paul. We're focusing today on the book of Philippians and the overall theme, joy in Christ. You can find handouts there by the bulletins in the lobby, or it's also online on our website. This coming Wednesday, we're going to start our starting point, our membership Bible class information course, different names, but it's a starting point to get familiar with our teachings. And if you're interested in joining our church family, this would be a way to do it. Wednesday at 6:30, we'll meet each Wednesday leading up to Lent, which starts Ash Wednesday, is February 14th. So we'll get a few weeks in before the Lenten season begins on February 14th. This coming Friday, we have our men's breakfast at Black Bear Diner. So that's at 6:30 a.m. If you want to join us there. The chili cook-off, just a reminder, that's coming up on the 28th after the late service. Everyone's welcome to enter that chili contest if you want. At least everyone will get a chance to try and judge the chili. Plus, we're adding the hot dogs this year. You don't want to miss that. Just see other things going on in the weekly news as far as events at church and school this coming week and also the month. And before we get to the Wells Connection, staying connected to what we do as a church body, You may recall our junior K kindergarten teacher, Hannah Ripley, was holding a call, opportunity to teach somewhere else. This is her letter. A few weeks ago, I received a divine call to serve God's kingdom at Trinity Lutheran Church and School in Aberdeen, South Dakota. So many prayers, thoughts, and conversations were had over these past few weeks. It has been a privilege for me to reflect on my current ministry and pray about how and where I can best use my gifts to serve our Savior. Thank you to all those who took time out of their days and nights to talk. After prayerful consideration, I have decided with the Lord's guidance to humbly accept the call to serve as kindergarten and first grade teacher at Trinity. My time was filled with blessings at St. Mark's. Please keep me in your prayers as I transition to a new ministry in a new place. I will certainly keep praying for this congregation. And so she'll be with us through the end of the school year, and then she'll transition to her new place. In the meantime, our governing board is working on what's next best for us here at St. Mark's. And so in the next couple weeks, we'll come to you with a meeting and some recommendations on how we proceed to fill our junior K and kindergarten position. Right now, we just have to reflect on our enrollment and financial needs and so forth, and see where we're at with that. So we keep Mrs. Ripley and her family in our prayers. Now, the Wells Connection.
Hello, I'm Wells President Mark Schrader. Thanks to our gracious God, 2023 was another year filled with wonderful blessings for our Synod's work of sharing Christ's love with others. In 2023, we witnessed the dedication of the new Theological Education Center for the Hmong Fellowship Church in Vietnam. Our Board for Home Missions launched the 100 New Missions and 75 Enhanced Missions in 10 Years effort. We also declared fellowship with the Obadiah Lutheran Synod in Uganda and affirmed fellowship with the Iglesia Cristo Wells Internacional. We praise our gracious Savior for these and all the ways that we've shared His gospel with our neighbors at home and around the world. Looking ahead, we have several exciting ways that you can be involved to share Christ's love in 2024. Taste of Missions is an interactive, family-friendly event that enables any Wells member to learn more about mission efforts in North America and globally. This summertime event, held at Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary, provides the opportunity to hear exciting stories of gospel-sharing efforts in mission fields, taste the cuisine of various nations, and participate in sending new missionaries to share the love of Jesus.
I love it. It's awesome. The culture is awesome. The kids getting the chance to see the commissioning of the missionaries was really cool.
I now commission you as a missionary in Peridot, Our Savior's Lutheran School.
I can't go to other countries myself, then I can support the people who can do that. And I feel that they really sacrifice a lot to do that. So if I can help in a little way, then I want to do that.
Also being held this summer is the Wells National Conference on Worship, Music, and the Arts. This helpful event with presentations on a wide variety of worship topics for Wells churches and schools of any size and people of all ages will be held at Carthage College in Kenosha, Wisconsin. The conference will help participants design and plan Lutheran worship to God's glory.
It's going to be sessions, continuing education sessions, on a whole spectrum of topics related to worship and music and the fine arts that adorn worship. It's going to be sessions for pastors, sessions for church musicians, sessions for lay people interested in learning more about hymnody, liturgy, the arts and music that go into what we do as worshiping Lutherans.
This summer's Wells Women's Ministry Conference in Waukesha, Wisconsin, will provide ways for Christian women to gather and grow together in Christ. Through keynote speakers, breakout sessions, and worship, the Lord will equip Christian women to proclaim the message of Jesus.
it will change your life. I know that when you get the opportunity to be surrounded by other women who are just sitting at the feet of Jesus and looking forward to hearing what he's going to teach us, and networking and connecting with other women, it is a great experience. And any woman who has come has definitely expressed an excitement and a joy that their faith has grown and that they have met lifelong friends that they know they'll never forget.
Finally, this year marks the 50th anniversary of the Wells International Youth Rally, which will be held at Colorado State University in Fort Collins. This four-day event, specifically geared toward teens, we'll explore the many messages God delivers directly to young people from the mountaintops of Scripture, with the gospel of Christ front and center.
I think it's really great. I like how we got to pick our own and learn based off of what we want to personally know more about. And yeah, it's all been super good.
I just love how there's people my own age, and I actually can fit in with a whole bunch of people that have the same faith as me, and it's amazing. And I can't wait to spend like the next like 3 or 4 days here. It's going to be awesome.
What a blessing it'll be to gather and work together as a body of believers at these various special events. How privileged we are, motivated by Christ's love, to participate in our calling of sharing Christ's love with others. You can learn more about these wonderful upcoming events, as well as register to attend them at wells.net.